Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Let me try that one more time. I said, come on, give the Lord a praise. Amen. Have he been really good to you? Have he woke you up this morning? Have he started you on your way? Have he made ways out of no way? This is the God that I serve. The God that I serve, he is able. Amen. 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 I just thank God for being here. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. First, give honor to God for being here and to your wonderful late pastor, Pastor Rick. A wonderful trailblazer, a man of God. And I can say that in the true sense of the word. A man that I've learned to love, and him and his wife, a wonderful man that loved the word of God and loved the people of God. So I thank God for being here. I thank God for Jesus. Isn't that right? Because we're here for Jesus. Isn't that right? To give him glory, to lift him up. Amen. 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 To my wonderful wife, and I've been with her 40 years. She's been looking at me and I've been looking at her. I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, I love a man that loves his wife. The Bible says you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wait a minute now. Can I say that one more time? The men folk get mighty quiet up in here. As Christ loved the church, and it goes on to say, and gave himself for it. That's a high calling, fellas. Is that all right? That's a high calling. And she had been with me in the ministry for a while, and she'd been right by my side, and I thank God for her. And, sometimes, when there was a time when she came home from work, and she was all upset, and I had a great day, and we had Bible study at work, and we had a great day, and we were rejoicing and having a good time, and I came home on fire. Thank God for Jesus. And, she came home from work and had a bad day. Y'all know something about a bad day? Oh, no, I know y'all don't have bad days. And she said, you ain't took the trash out. You know, they had nothing to do with the trash, right? And I grabbed her and kissed her and said, baby, I just love you. She said, I just had a bad day and I just want to take it out on somebody. So you can change the mood of your home, fellas. Is that all right? Amen. If you got your Bibles, and hopefully I won't be before you long, I never preached over 2 hours. God said, you're being here by yourself. We're going to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. Very familiar story in the Word. And I just want to bring some word of encouragement. That y'all get preached to, y'all know the Word, and I just want to encourage Berean. And happy anniversary. Woo, come on, y'all. Y'all know what anniversary is all about. 31 years. Let me back up and say that. I, out of the 40 years, I missed one anniversary, and I just forgot to give her something. Somebody said, oh, Lord have mercy. But don't you know I paid for it for years on end? You know that? I had to make up for that. So anniversary means celebration. Is that all right? And we're going to start at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Ziklag, which belonged to Zelon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so he arose and went to Ziklag. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Eliza said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make of thee and of thine son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And if I can use just for a topic for a little while, God will provide. I don't want you to just look at somebody, because this COVID stuff can't get you to touch nobody. But we can take these little beady ball eyes and look at somebody. And look at somebody and say, God will provide. Father, I thank you for this moment that you have allowed me to stand at this sacred desk to bring a word. And Father, I can't bring this word without you. So Lord, help me. Help me, Father, that you may get the glory out of the message and the people of God edified. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 and 2 Kings, these two books, also one unit in the Hebrew Bible, contains the history of the people of Israel. And it talks about Solomon's son, David, as king, and the carrying away of the people into captivity. It gives the record of the death of David, the reign of Solomon, and the revolt of Jeroboam, and the 10 tribes during the reign of Rehoboam. I want to let you know that God, in the midst of trouble, will provide for you. And a lot of us have had situations in our life that we have looked back and said, will God bring me out? And now you can look back at it and say, my soul look back and wonder how I got over. And I know some of us have met, and I can talk about me, there have been times in my life that I wonder, God, how are you going to fix this? The many times I went to go to work in the morning going across the mountain of the Merrimack, and I see these ducks. And the duck would go down over here, and then would come up over here. But sometimes people see you go down, and they wonder, are you going to come up? But I'm letting you know that God will provide for you in the midst of the time of trouble. We can see, and we can relate to this story with this widow woman. I'm sure you're very familiar with it, that she was in trouble. Well, let me back up during the first verse of this 17th chapter. Elisha and Ahaz had a conversation. Ahaz was a wicked king, the husband of Jezebel. He was serving false gods. So by serving false gods, the prophet came to him and says, there will be no rain for years upon the earth. And in this culture, they needed rain. They needed rain for crops, and they needed rain for agriculture. They needed rain. But God said, through your sinful act, we are not going to have any rain for some years. So he told him to get down to the brook, and I'll sustain you there. Now listen to this. Wait a minute. So see, some things that God would tell you that don't make sense. Oh, y'all know God would tell you to do something, and in your natural mind, it really just don't make sense. because you're telling me to go by a brook. Now, in my mind, I'm going to say, now, you're telling me to go by a brook. Now, I'm going ahead of you, and I want to know I know my water is there, but I need food. You know, y'all, man, are going ahead. You're trying to plan. You know, when you go on vacation, you try to plan ahead, you know, what you're going to do and where you're going to stay and what we're going to eat and what activities we're going to do when we get there. Y'all, you know, when you're going somewhere, you're going to try to plan ahead. Is that right? Huh? All right. So that was the first thing that would cause my mind is, Lord, you're sending me by the brook, but in the midst of a famine, there's nothing there to eat. So the Lord said to go by the brook, and I'm going to send a raven. Wait a minute now. That's an unclean bird. And the bird is going to feed you there. Wait a minute. Going to feed a bird. Then I said, it don't make sense. Sometimes God tells you something that don't make sense. He's going to let a bird, an unclean bird, come and feed me. And not only feed me bread. You know we like that bread. And not only I'm going to give you some bread, and I'm going to give you some flesh. That's what the scripture says. And I'm going to send it by a bird. So he left and went to the brook, and he would drink the water from the brook. And the Bible says in the morning and in the evening, the bird would be stealing somebody's bread, somebody's fresh bread. You know that bird ain't making no bread. That bird is stealing somebody's bread off somebody's table and bringing it to the prophet. Is that right? In the morning, he'll steal the bread. In the evening, he'll steal the bread. And he getting some flesh, and he bring it to the prophet. And my topic is God will what? Okay, come on, y'all might gonna get it after a while. Somebody get it before I leave. He will provide even when you don't see your way. I'm going there. Wait. He will provide for you even when you don't see your way. And many times we have walked in the dark and said, Lord, just take my hand because I can't see the next step. And when you let God take your hand to see the next step, God will make a way and open doors and open doors and open doors. But as the doors keep on being opened, something happened in this story. There came a time that the brook dried up. Wait a minute, Lord. You sent me here. Wait a minute. You sent me to the brook. Right? Now, is that what the word says? And the raven stopped coming. He stopped stealing somebody's biscuits and somebody's flesh. I mean, he was stealing. He won't make it no biscuits. So the water dried up, right? And the bird stopped coming. So I want to know what you going to do. This is a self-evaluation. When the water dries up, either God has sent you there and told you he will provide, what are you going to do when the brook dries up? Somebody's going to get on that cellular phone and call somebody. But sometimes you call them, you get a busy signal. But you call on God, come on, he's always there. Isn't that right? God always there. So what you got to do when the brook dries up and the birds stop coming, you got to wait on the Lord. Isn't that what the scripture was this morning? You got to wait on God and hear God when he speak. And then we get to that 8th verse, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Y'all got it? See, that's why we got to have a relationship to know the word of God, to hear God when he speak. How you know it's God's voice or somebody else's voice or just what I want. I just want this item. I'm going to tell you a testimony. I bought me a car years ago, and my wife said, don't do it. Ooh, it was a Porsche. And brother, that thing was red. That thing was shiny. And that thing looked, ooh, you're talking about something looked good, and I look good in it too. Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, I look good sitting up in that thing. Yes, sir. Huh? I look good sitting in it too. And my wife, and we went back to the car, she said, don't buy it. And I was saying to myself, I look too good in this car, not to buy. I look entirely too good in this. I was impressing. I want to impress my friends. You may not go to my homeboy house, man. Look there, hey. So that's why you got to know when you heard God's voice. Y'all got it? You got to know the word of God. You got to know when God speaks or when you want something or when the devil speaks. Is that right? So you got to know the word of God. That's why it's good to come to Bible study, to read your word, to get a relationship with God so you can hear God when he speaks. But I would listen to Kenny because I wanted that. So I bought it. And we stayed inside the highway more than we did on the road. car broke down every weekend. I was wrenching on it. It was the worst thing I ever did. Fellas, listen to your wife. So you got to know God when he speaks. And this is the next level he was taking Elisha. He was taking Elisha to the next level, to the next level of ministry. And that happens even in the church. It happened even in your own private life, that God would take you from ministry to ministry to ministry. Is that right? From levels to different levels of ministry. And he was taken from the level of from the brook. And then he said, now I'm going to take you to a widow. And she is going to sustain you, and she has nothing. She don't have enough bread and oil to feed herself and her son. The scripture says we're going to eat this, and we're going to what? Woo, y'all know the word. Now, you're going to tell me that you're taking me to a widow's house that has absolutely nothing to offer me. And then we're scratching our head that we then the Bible said we walk by faith and not by, because we want to see where we're going. We want to see our next step. We want to see what God is doing. But sometimes God will take you into areas of ministry and areas in your life that you won't see. But you got to trust in my faith. So he got there and saw this widow woman picking up sticks to make a fire, to make bread. She said, I can give you some water. She said, but I barely have enough food for me and my son, and we're going to eat this, and we're going to die. Can you imagine eating your last meal? Or your boss done gave you a layoff notice? Or your company done closed down? I want to let you know, as Christian, y'all ain't got nothing to worry about. Because God said he'll take care of his own. Oh, wait a minute. God said he would take care of his own. I'm going to give you a testimony. A guy that worked with me, and he taught Bible study, and he said, I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have it. I did not have it. It was not, I had enough money in the bank to pay my mortgage. And he done borrowed money from people and paid them back and borrowed money. He didn't really know where to go or where to turn. So he was distraught. So that's why you got to hear God when he speaks. And he said he went and to his prayer room where he does meditation and prayer, and he began to ask God. I said, Lord, I don't have my mortgage, and I need my mortgage. And God said, go back to the bank. Wait a minute now. Wait. I know what, y'all got this online, what? Right? Y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all can transfer money. You can pay bills. Y'all can do everything right on that cellular phone. Right? No, he said, go to the bank. Go back to the bank. And this ain't making no sense because I know what's in my account. So after the Lord had encouraged him to go to the bank, he went to the bank and he gave the lady the account number. And he said, she said, you got X, Y, Z. He said, what? He said, give it to me. Give it to me right now. Give it to me. He said, we make a mistake. I'll make it up on the M. I'm going to pay my mortgage. He said, he went back to the bank. And when he went back to the bank, it was enough in his account to pay his mortgage. Don't you tell me what God won't do. God's still working miracles. So she picked up the sticks. The prophet said, make me one first. This is faith. Said, make me one first. Wait a minute. I'm thinking about self-existence now. Well, I got my son, my children here, my child, my son. And I know you might be a little slower, huh? But I just kind of told you I ain't had enough of just me and my son. He said, make the preacher one first. What? Sometimes by faith stuff don't make no sense, do it? Now you got just enough for you and your son, y'all right? And then you're going to die. That's it. I know God's math ain't like ours goes. One and one has always been what? But there was three. There's Elisha there. And he said, make me one first. So the Bible says she went and did as the prophet said. But God testified and said, if you do this, your oil and your meal will never run out. I'm going to let you know today, God will provide for you if you just trust him by faith. If you just do what God say do, God will always make a way for you. Won't he do it, y'all? Let me give you a testimony. As she forestated, we got 4 grandchildren. And all of them ladies, girls, and I don't even win the remote no more. I don't even get the remote in the house. I don't get out, brother. You know, y'all got to pray for me. I don't win anything in the house. I got a yes, dear. I got all girls. And the first set of twins, they're about 17. They stayed in the hospital a year. The first one stayed in the hospital a year. Alicia stayed there a year. Alexia stayed in the hospital 2 years. And the doctors told us that don't look for any results of her ever coming home, that she is not going to make it. So every day that we would leave work and we'd go by CHKD and she would be in this little pod and she was 2 pounds, 7 ounces. 2 pounds, 2 ounces. So she would lay in your hand about like that. She never cried. Never heard her cry. Feed her with a feeding tube. So the doctors said she would never, this one is not going to make it. So we kept on praying and trusting God. And I said, Lord, if she don't make it, you still get the glory. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to try that one more time. Because sometimes we want what we want, and I want it just like I want it. I want it green. I want it yellow. I want it just like I want it. But don't you know you don't always get what you want? So we kept going and kept praying. Kept going and kept praying. And she had so many tubes running her little teeny tiny itty bitty body. The only thing we can really rub was the top of her hand. But don't you know we kept on praying. And said, God, I can't fix this. I give her to you. And listen to this. This is hard to pray. And whatever you do, it's okay. Because God, I know you're faithful. Amen. So she got better. And then she got down to the step down unit. And the nurses was astonished. And the doctors was astonished. And then one day we were going there, we were hearing this baby cry. So what in the world? Somebody made that baby mad. And we get in there, and it was our Alexia. She never cried in her life. And the nurse was trying to quiet her down. Said, don't quiet her down. Let her have her way. They finally got her out of two years, 24 months, to bring her home. But she said she'll never walk. She'll never talk. She'll never feed by mouth. She'd be just about next to a vegetable. My daughter was in the room and put her down for night. And she heard a ruckus. And I said, what in the world going on in that room? She done pulled a feeding tube out of her stomach. I said, what in the world? My daughter got excited, rushed up to CHKD, took her in the back, did all these examinations on her and come back out and said, look, huh, take this baby home and feed her anything you want to feed her. So she started growing and they were trying, even though she couldn't walk, they said, well, you have to put her in a wheelchair. My daughter said, I refuse to put her in a wheelchair. So we kept on praying. We was in the kitchen looking at, talking and eating, and she was in the den. And we looking around, she pulling up on the furniture, walking around the furniture. Wait a minute now, we hugging each other, then look at here. And in 3 months, she was running to the bus. Oh, y'all don't know what God can do. God, my God, look, she is a miracle baby. She had defied all of what the doctors have said. We know that God will provide because most people would have gave her up. But we didn't give her up because we know God is bigger than what Lexi had. He's bigger than what you're going through. He's bigger than your finances. That's the God that we serve. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord. Listen to this. With all, not some. Let me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding of what I see and what is and what's going on with this COVID and what's going on. Don't lean to your own understanding. And in the 6th verse, it said, in all thine ways. Wait a minute. It didn't say some of your ways. I give God, some folk will give God some things. I'm going to keep this. Can I say that one more time? I'm going to keep this for myself. And I give God this. But in all thine ways, acknowledge him. Wait a minute. In all of what you're going through, and all of what it looks like, and all what the devil says, and I know it get dark and get midnight and you can't see your way, but the Bible says in everything that you're going through, I don't care what it look, your son acting up, your bills are due, your telephone disconnect waiting on the next paycheck, I want to let you know, in all things acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. I just did a eulogy not long ago. Young girl. Her husband was naturally devastated. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, baby. He called me. Crying, trying to figure it all out. Trying to figure out where was God when all this happened. I said he was in the same place when, right beside the Son, right beside the Father, when all this happened. I said, we might not understand everything that goes on in life, but one thing we can know and be assured of, that God is faithful. And if we, you know what? I don't want to know everything. If y'all knew everything, it would blow your mind. You could not handle everything that's going to go on in your life. If you're going to know what's going on for tomorrow, it'll blow your mind. If the next 5 years, if the Lord gave you the next 5 years and let you know what's going on in the next 5 years, you couldn't handle it. That's why the Lord give us grace and give us mercy every morning, because he give us what we can take at the time that we can take it. He gives us in intervals and in pieces, because our fleshly minds and our intellect, we cannot take it if God gave us a 5-year agenda. You said, whoa, 5 years, whoa, 5 years, whoa. John couldn't take it. On the Isle of Patmos, he saw all this stuff. It made him actually sick. So imagine if God gave you a 5-year agenda and said, boom, let me show you what's going to happen in the next 5 years. So he give us interval, grace, and mercy. And when you get there, believe me, he give you enough to go through it. I'm going to try that one more time. When you get to your spot, he give you enough to go through it. Ain't that right? I'm about done. Look, we got to trust him. That was my first point, is that we got to trust God in the midst of trial, in the midst of tests. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Because the flesh want to deny it. They want to say, look, you're not going to make it. But the only thing I want you to do when you're trusting God is just look back and remember how he brought you over yesterday. If he brought me through this, he'll bring me through that. Y'all got it? And that's what I love about the church. Because maybe nobody named Sue, but I'm going to just use it. If Sue went through it, and if Sue made it, I can make it too. You see what I'm saying? We can bounce off each other with the grace and mercy that we go through. If God allowed brother so-and-so to go through it, and he made it through, I can make it through too. And number two, God is our source. Y'all got it? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth who? Me. Y'all got it? God is my source. Now look, I just retired and the shipyard was my resource. Oh, y'all, somebody get it tomorrow. But God was my source. Because if the Lord didn't bless the shipyard to bring in ships, I wouldn't have that resource. Somebody get it tomorrow, but that's all right. But see, number two says that God is my source. He's the source of my strength. He's the source of my joy. He's the source of my peace and contentment. He's my source. Is that right? I can do all things. And that all things don't mean all things in the flesh. That means all things in the word. Woo! Huh? That's what that means. That means all things in the word. I can do all things in the word of God for him that strengtheneth me. Is that right? And I'm coming on in. Somebody said, man, my chicken is on the stove and he's up there. He need to come on down. Amen. And the third point. Praise the Lord in the midst of your test. Amen. Y'all get that? I want you to praise the Lord in the midst of your test. See, when Moses and when we took the people out of Egypt and they went through the Red Sea, y'all remember that? And when they got to the other side, his sister Miriam, y'all remember what she did? Right? She got the tamarind and they beat the tamarind and they just had a high holy time. Is that right? But see, we got the whole word to know that we are more than conquerors. I go get it tomorrow. We got the whole word of God. See, they had a whole word. You know, they were walking and going through there, and God had been providing for them, and God had been making ways. And they praised him on the end of the trial when they got across the Red Sea. What we should do is in the midst of our Red Sea, in the midst of our Pharaoh being on the backside and the waters on both sides and mountains all around, we need to get that and begin to get our tamarind of our heart, clap our hands, tell God, Lord, I thank you because, Lord, I see myself on the other side of my trial. Psalms 106:1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endures what? Forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good. How many in here can just testify? Maybe you ain't testified this morning. To know that the Lord is good. And know that his mercy endures forever. The Lord cares about everything we go through, and he will provide. When Abraham took Isaac up the mountain, and he was about to bring, we'll be back. And he loaded the wood, the fire. On Isaac. And Isaac testified and said, "Father, I see the wood." Because he did it before. And this isn't the first sacrifice that Abraham had. He said, "I see the wood, I see the fire. But where is the sacrifice?" And he goes on to say, and God will provide for himself a sacrifice. Y'all got it? Listen to what he says now. I'm coming on in. He said he will provide a what? Lamb. Right? That lamb is the pre-incarnate of the Jesus Christ at the cross. He spoke at the cross of his redemption way back in Genesis. Because when he got there and was about to plunge his knife into his son to kill him, a voice came from heaven and said, "Steady your hand. There's a what in the thicket? Ram." So the full interpretation of this coming all together when Jesus hung at the cross and with the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, and he provided that for you, and he provided that for me, because he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know here at Berean Baptist Church that he's still providing. He's still making a way. Somebody here today might not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I know they said, "We get to this part every Sunday. We talk about the cross. But if we don't preach the cross, our preaching is in vain." You know, I've been preaching for a while. And a lot of church folk is going to hell. Ooh, I ain't talking about nah, you know, just, a lot of church folk that come, and no disrespect, that sings in the choir. They usher, but they don't know Jesus. Oh, yeah, we can come and put on this facade. We put on our church face before we get out the car on Sunday morning. God bless you. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time, God is good. And we play this role. We play this role of church. We play this role of church, but when we leave here, we don't know God. We don't know Jesus Christ. And yes, you will answer. Would there be one to say, "I don't know him, that I would like to be saved, that I would like to have a relationship with him"? Would there be one? Would it be one would like to join this beautiful Church of Zion? Would it be one? Come on, give the Lord a hand praise, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. And you know why? We give him a hand praise because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Sometimes I don't give a hand praise. I don't do this because I don't feel like it. I know. But let's say God didn't bless you because he didn't feel like it. Let's say on the highway, he didn't keep you safe on the highway because he didn't feel like it. I think God is not like man. Father, we give you glory and praise for the message that you provide. And God, how you keep right on and right on blessing me in spite of myself. Lord, bless this church in their 31 years that they have many years of ministry, spreading the gospel, sending out preachers and pastors into the vineyard to your glory. Continue to bless the leadership of this church. Continue to bless Brother Rick's family. Such a great man has sown into my life and has sown into many other lives. And I thank you, Father, for his legacy that will live on through Berean Baptist Church and many others. So thank you. And we're going to give your name glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.